Chapter 2. Kid Africa. Kid Africa came cruising into Dog Solitude on the last day in November. His vintage Dodge chauffeured by a white girl named Cherry Chesterfield. Slick Henry and Little Bird were breaking down the buzzsaw that formed the judge's left hand when Kid's Dodge came into view. Its patched apron bag, throwing up brown fantails of the rusty water that pooled on the Solitude's uneven plane of compacted steel. Little Bird saw it first. He had sharp eyes, Little Bird, and a 10x monocular that dangled on his chest amid the bones of assorted animals and antique bottleneck cartridge brass. Slick looked up from the hydraulic wrist to see Little Bird straighten up to his full 2 meters and aim the monocular out through the grid of unglazed steel that formed most of factory's south wall. Little Bird was very thin, almost skeletal, and the lacquered wings of brown hair that had earned him the name stood out sharp against the pale sky. He kept the back and side shaved high, well above his ears. With the wings and the aerodynamic ducktail, he looked as though he were wearing a headless brown gull.
"Wow," said Little Bird. "Motherfuck."
"What?"
It was hard to get Little Bird to concentrate, and the job needed a second set of hands.
"It's that nigger."
Slick stood up and wiped his hands down the thighs of his jeans, while Little Bird fumbled the green Mech 5 Microsoft from the socket behind his ear, instantly forgetting the 8-point servo calibration procedure needed to unfuck the judge's buzzsaw.
"Who's driving?"
Africa never drove himself, if he could help it.
"Can't make out."
Little Bird let the monocular clatter back into the curtain of bones and brass. Slick joined him at the window to watch the Dodge's progress. Kid Africa periodically touched up the hover's matte black paint job with judicious applications from an aerosol can, the somber effect offset by the row of chrome-plated skulls welded to the massive front bumper. At one time, the hollow steel skulls had boasted red Christmas bulbs for eyes. Maybe the kid was losing his concern with image. As the hover slewed up to factory, Slick heard Little Bird shuffle back into the shadows, his heavy boots scraping through dust and fine bright spirals of metal shavings. Slick watched past a last dusty dagger of window glass as the hover settled into its apron bags in front of factory, groaning and venting steam. Something rattled in the dark behind him, and he knew that Little Bird was behind the old parts rack, fiddling the homemade silencer onto the Chinese rimfire they used for rabbits.
"Bird,"
Slick said, tossing his wrench down on the tarp.
"I know you're an ignorant little redneck Jersey asshole, but do you have to keep goddamn reminding me of it?" "Don't like that nigger,"
Little Bird said from behind the rack.
"Yeah, and if that nigger'd bother noticing, he wouldn't like you either. Knew you were back there with that gun, he'd shove it down your throat sideways."
No response from Little Bird.
He'd grown up in white Jersey string towns, where nobody knew shit about anything, and hated anybody who did. "And I'd help him, too."
Slick yanked up the zip on his old brown jacket and went out to Kid Africa's hover. The dusty window on the driver's side hissed down, revealing a pale face dominated by an enormous pair of amber-tinted goggles. Slick's boots crunched on ancient cans rusted thin as old leaves. The driver tugged the goggles down and squinted at him. Female. But now the amber goggles hung around her neck, concealing her mouth and chin. The kid would be on the far side. A good thing. In the unlikely event, Little Bird started shooting.
"Go on around,"
the girl said. Slick walked around the hover, past the chrome skulls, hearing Kid Africa's window come down with that same demonstrative little sound.
"Slick Henry,"
the kid said, his breath puffing white as it hit the air of the solitude. Hello. Slick looked down at the long brown face. Kid Africa had big hazel eyes, slitted like a cat's, a pencil-thin mustache, and skin with the sheen of buffed leather.
Hey, kid.
Slick smelled some kind of incense from inside the hover.
How you doing?
Well, the kid said, narrowing his eyes.
Recall you saying once, if I ever needed a favor.
Right, Slick said, feeling a first twinge of apprehension. Kid Africa had saved his ass once, in Atlantic City. Talked some irate brothers out of dropping him off this balcony on the 43rd floor of a burned-out high stack.
Somebody wanna throw you off a tall building?
Slick, the kid said.
I wanna introduce you to somebody.
Then we'll be even.
Slick Henry, this fine-looking girl here. This is Miss Cherry Chesterfield of Cleveland, Ohio.
Slick bent down and looked at the driver. Blonde shockhead, paint stick around her eyes.
Cherry, this is my close personal friend, Mr. Slick Henry. When he was young and bad, he rode with the Deacon Blues. Now he's old and bad. He holds up out here and pursues his art. Understand? A talented man, understand?
He's the one builds the robots, the girl said around a wad of gum. You said?
The very one,
the kid said, opening his door. You wait for us here, Cherry honey. The kid, draped in a mink coat that brushed the immaculate tips of his yellow ostrich boots, stepped out onto the solitude. And Slick caught a glimpse of something in the back of the hover. Eye-blink, ambulance flash of bandages and surgical tubing.
Hey, kid, he said. What you got back there?
The kid's jeweled hand came up, gesturing Slick back as the hover's door clanked shut and Cherry Chesterfield hit the window buttons.
We have to talk about that, Slick. I don't think it's much to ask, Kid Africa said,
leaning back against a bare metal workbench wrapped in his mink.
Cherry has a medtech ticket, and she knows she'll get paid.
Nice girl, Slick. He winked.
Kid.
Kid Africa had this guy in the back of the hover, who was like dead, coma or something. Had him hooked up to pumps and bags and tubes and some kind of simstim rig. All of it bolted to an old alloy ambulance stretcher, batteries and everything.
What's this?
Cherry, who'd followed them in after the kid had taken Slick back out to show him the guy in the back of the hover, was peering dubiously up at the towering judge. Most of them, anyway. The arm with the buzzsaw was where they'd left it, on the floor on the greasy tarp.
If she has a medtech's ticket, Slick thought, the medtech probably hasn't noticed it's missing yet.
She was wearing at least 4 leather jackets, all of them several sizes too big.
Slick's art, like I told you.
That guy's dying. He smells like piss.
Catheter came loose, Cherry said. What's this thing supposed to do, anyway?
We can't keep him here, kid. He'll stiff. You want to kill him, go stuff him down a hole on the solitude.
The man's not dying, Kid Africa said. He's not hurt, he's not sick.
Then what the fuck's wrong with him?
He's under, baby. He's on a long trip. He needs peace and quiet.
Slick looked from the kid to the judge, then back to the kid. He wanted to be working on that arm. Kid said he wanted Slick to keep the guy for 2 weeks, maybe 3. He'd leave Cherry there to take care of him.
I can't figure it. This guy, he's a friend of yours?
Kid Africa shrugged inside his mink.
So why don't you keep him at your place?
Not so quiet. Not peaceful enough.
Kid, Slick said, I owe you one.
But nothing this weird.
Anyway, I gotta work, and anyway, it's too weird. And there's Gentry, too. He's gone to Boston now, be back tomorrow night, and he wouldn't like it. You know how he's funny about people.
It's mostly his place, too, how it is.
They had you over the railing, man, Kid Africa said sadly. You remember?
Hey, I remember.
You don't remember too good, the kid said. Okay, Cherry, let's go.
Don't want to cross Dog Solitude at night. He pushed off from the steel bench.
Kid, look.
Forget it.
I didn't know your fucking name that time in Atlantic City. Just figured I didn't want to see the white boy all over the street, you know? So I didn't know your name then. I guess I don't know it now.
Kid.
Yeah. Okay. He stays. 2 weeks, Max. You give me your word, you'll come back and get him. And you gotta help me square it with Gentry.
What's he need?
Drugs.
Little Bird reappeared as the kid's Dodge wallowed away across the solitude. He came edging out from behind an outcropping of compacted cars, rusty pallets of crumpled steel that still showed patches of bright enamel. Slick watched him from a window high up in factory. The squares of the steel frame had been fitted with sections of scavenged plastic, each one a different shade and thickness, so that when Slick tilted his head to one side, he saw Little Bird through a pane of hot pink lucite.
Who lives here? Cherry asked, from the room behind him.
Me, Slick said. Little Bird, Gentry.
In this room, I mean.
He turned and saw her there beside the stretcher and its attendant machines.
You do, he said.
It's your place?
She was staring at the drawings taped to the walls. His original conceptions of the judge and his investigators. The corpse grinder and the witch.
Don't worry about it.
Better you don't get any ideas, she said.
He looked at her. She had a large red sore at the corner of her mouth. Her bleached hair stood out like a static display.
Like I said, don't worry about it.
Kid said you got electricity.
Yeah.
Better get him hooked up,
she said, turning to the stretcher.
He doesn't draw much, but the batteries will be getting low.
He crossed the room to look down at the wasted face.
You better tell me something, he said.
He didn't like the tubes. One of them went into a nostril, and the idea made him want to gag.
Who is this guy? And what exactly the fuck is Kid Africa doing to him?
He's not, she said, tapping a readout into view on a biomonitor panel lashed to the foot of the stretcher with silver tape. REM still up. Like he dreams all the time.
The man on the stretcher was strapped down in a brand new blue sleeping bag.
What it is. He, whoever. He's paying Kid for this.
There was a trode net plastered across the guy's forehead. A single black cable was lashed along the edge of the stretcher. Slick followed it up to the fat gray package that seemed to dominate the gear mounted on the superstructure. SimStim? Didn't look like it. Some kind of cyberspace rig? Gentry knew a lot about cyberspace, or anyway, he talked about it. But Slick couldn't remember anything about getting unconscious and just staying jacked in. People jacked in so they could hustle. Put the trodes on and they were out there. all the data in the world stacked up like one big neon city, so you could cruise around and have a kind of grip on it. Visually, anyway, because if you didn't, it was too complicated. Trying to find your way to a particular piece of data you needed? Iconics, Gentry called that.
He paying the kid?
Yeah, she said. What for? Keep him that way. Hide him out, too.
Who from?
Don't know. Didn't say.
In the silence that followed, he could hear the steady rasp of the man's breath.